Welcome to Days in the Wild. I just want to talk to you real quick before we jump into this next episode. I can't urge you enough to get out there and give us a review on iTunes or the Podbean app. It's super important. Helps me keep this free, helps me reach new people and continue to grow. If you don't know how to do that, hit me up and I'll help you through it. Also want you to go and give Phoenix Shooting Bags a look. Check out their website, phoenixshootingbags.com. They are our main sponsor and they put an excellent product out, and it means a lot for me for you to go check them out and take a look and see what they got. So without further ado, let's roll into this next episode. Here's a little bonus episode that Anthony with Phoenix Shooting Bags recorded with Dana Stacia.
Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we have Dana Stacia from Hunting for Connections. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
Everything is great. Just loving this stay-at-home, work from home, play at home, kids at home, becoming a teacher, you know, all the good things of this COVID-19 stay-at-home, thing we're having right now. So how are you doing? How are you handling this?
Well, so I have a remote office, and it's just me here. So I'm still heading in into the office every day. I don't see anybody. Just me and my computer and my telephone. So not a lot. That aspect has changed for me. Everything that I do is over the telephone. So I'm still able to conduct my business. It's a little bit of a challenge. But for the most part, I've been thankfully pretty blessed through this unique situation that we're in.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dana, I hear you are quite the hunter. I know you do turkey hunts, you do bear hunts, you do hog hunts, and you started, this Hunting for Connections on Facebook. Tell us a little bit about how you started the group, what the group's about, and explain to everybody what you do.
Yeah, I would love to. So I actually started the group about it's been 3 years now ago. It might have even been closer to 4 years ago. So I started it at a unique time in my life, believe it or not. So I started it when I was going through a divorce. Now, the reason why I started the group is because I knew just because my marriage was ending that my love and passion for hunting in the outdoors wasn't ending. And I knew that I was going to receive a piece of some of the land that we had owned together at that time. But to be honest with you, when I was married, my ex-husband primarily took care of the land. So, you know, I would just roll up and hunt. And at that time, it was fantastic. But I realized, you know, if I still want to, you know, harvest some nice bucks, that I needed to really start to invest some time into learning how to take care of my land and how to, you know, prepare the property management and things like that. And so I really needed to pay more attention to that. And so I wanted to start asking questions on Facebook, but I just was a little bit intimidated by that. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be ridiculed for not really knowing the answer. So I decided that I wanted to create a Facebook group where we could connect like-minded individuals together. One of the things that I learned from my day job is just the power of connections. When you put like-minded individuals together, so many doors can be opened and so many really unique things can come of it. And I thought, you know, I want to kind of incorporate that into this Facebook group. So I decided to name it Hunting for Connections. And I wanted it to be for people that enjoyed really just hunting and fishing primarily. And so when I started the group, I didn't tell anybody that I was going through a divorce. I just kind of made it open that I was learning how to take care of my property and that I really was going to have a lot of questions and that, I wanted other people that were kind of learning different things, you know, to feel free and comfortable to ask questions and to learn. And I thought, you know, with people in the group, there's just so much knowledge in that. So I thought, you know, it could just be a great little community for us to be able to, you know, connect. And through that, you know, as time went on, I really wanted to just add additional, you know, pieces to the puzzle, if you will. So I own land in Wisconsin, but I love to hunt out west. And at that time when I was going through a divorce, I just financially wasn't in a place where I could, you know, pay for an outfitter's fee to go hunt out west. And so I started allowing people in the group to do hunting swaps. So people would, go one place and hunt their property, and then in exchange they would come to the other person's place and hunt. And so just a lot of really great things were happening in the group. There was a lot of great connections being made. I started allowing outfitters to promote their hunts as long as they were offering the group members a discount or a deal or some value, so that we were giving people, in the group really just a reason to want to be part of the group and just additional value add. And so as time went on, the group just consistently continued to grow. And through that, there was just so many great friendships being created and so many great opportunities were being had. And it was, helping outfitters. It was helping people that had land but, didn't want to pay outfitter fees. Same thing with charters, people that have fishing charters. We allow those people to post in there, too, as long as they're offering some sort of a discount to the members. And it just really started to kind of snowball. And, during a really difficult time in my life, this group and this community was really just becoming more of a family. And it was just super rewarding because I was getting a lot of messages from people saying, man, I'm so glad that you started this group. I've gone on a lot of really cool hunts. I was able to take my kids. We've had great experiences. I was able to get a really fair price. And it's just been a really good experience. And just so through that, there was just a lot of friendships being made and opportunities coming about. And so it was really unique because it was something that I really wanted to happen from that group. And all those things were really just kind of a blessing. But most importantly, and not most importantly, but one of the most important things for me is it was just really just a great opportunity for me to kind of have a different outlet, making new friends during a really difficult time in my life. So it really just was serving a lot of purpose for me and for other people in its entirety. So, from the time that we started it till now, we've got just under 30,000, active members. It's a very active community. And so it's unique because I strive really hard to always bring additional value to the group. So I always say it pays to be a member of Hunting for Connections. And so we're always trying to do giveaways within the group to get people excited, just really motivate them. And it's been a really positive experience. I've met a lot of great people, and I've just had a lot of people tell me that, they really enjoy the group and that it's just been a really nice experience. So it's something that started out as a necessity has really just turned into just, a really big blessing that I call a family.
Nice. I mean, we all like family. And I think that's what it's all about. Hunting is all about family. Everybody's always getting together. I mean, I go on hunts with friends that are from other states, and they come out here, and we swap. And I don't feel like it's like none of us pay each other. We may buy a case of beer or what have you while we're there and, treat each other to food when we're at the other person's state for saying thank you for, hosting us. But I believe, everything is expensive these days, and not everybody can hire the guide, and not everybody can, go on a once-in-a-lifetime hunt in another state, like especially deer hunts or bear hunts or whatever. So if you're swapping hunts and doing it that way, time is money, and I think that's an excellent, I was reading a bunch on there, and you guys got great content, got great people on there. I really enjoy it. So
sign me up for sure. Yeah, I like it a lot, and I like it to be a place where people know that they're surrounded by like-minded people, but additionally, it's a place where they know that they can get, a discounted hunt, or they can get, a really fair price, or have the opportunity to swap a hunt. And, like last year or the year before, I posted, does anybody want to come hunt in Wisconsin, and I would love to go hunt out west. And I mean, I probably had, no joke, probably over 250, maybe 300 people that were willing to do a swap with me. So it's great because there's people that are active, like they want to have unique experiences. And so it was fantastic. It actually worked out really well because one of the people that responded happened to be right in the same area as myself. And so he came out and hunted my property, and then in exchange, I was able to take my son out to Idaho, and we hunted public land out in Idaho, and this was just last October. And that's the first time I've ever hunted public land before. Actually, it was I didn't self-guide it, but he self-guided us out in Idaho, and so it was just a really cool experience to do something different that we'd never done before. So that was a really, really exciting opportunity that I was pumped to be able to experience, and the same thing for my son. It was just neither one of us ended up getting anything, but for us it was just more of a fantastic experience, and Idaho is such a beautiful state anyway, so we had just a fantastic time just being there, and the scenery, oh my goodness, the out west is so beautiful. So for us it was a win. It was a win-win for sure.
No, for sure. I mean, I love hunting out here. Arizona is like one of my favorite. I know I live here. I love hunting here. I love Oregon right now. I love hunting. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, we went there this last year. I love hunting Colorado. Utah is phenomenal. I mean, all the states out west are just, I mean, you can't beat it. And I've been out to Wisconsin. I've hunted out there. It's amazing. I've hunted a private property out there from a friend of mine going deer hunting. So you guys got some tremendous deer out there as well. So we could do a swap anytime you want.
Oh, heck yes. I would love to do that. Sure. Like, I'd gladly take you up on that. We've got two different chunks of land that are really close to one another. One section has 73 acres on it, and then the other one has 130. And so they're far enough apart from one another, but they both have just had very good luck yielding some really beautiful animals. And I'm just in awe, really, to be honest with you, just to know that I've been able to harvest some really incredible animals just off of my own property. When you think about it, that it's your property and that you've been able to harvest, you know, really incredible, you know, deer off of your property, it just seems so much more rewarding. And so to me, I still get really overwhelmed with joy, just like, oh my gosh, that's my property and I've been able to do some really awesome things on it, and I've been able to share it with a lot of people. And like, that's what it's all about, is just, you know, having great memories, great experiences, and just, you know, having fun with what you have.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're coming on here. You're going to come share us a couple stories about your turkey hunts and your bear hunt. Go ahead, and whenever you're ready, you guys tell us a little about that.
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to. So I'm a really goal-oriented person, so I have a vision board of animals that I want to achieve in harvest, and one of the ones that was on there literally was just the turkey, right? So when I first envisioned hunting, before I was even ever a hunter, I thought, well, maybe I could just hunt a turkey. You know, I thought, oh, that'd probably be easy, and it probably wouldn't hurt my feelings very much. But for some reason, when I first started hunting, I ended up hunting whitetail, and then I just never really got into turkey hunting. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to get back to my original idea of wanting to harvest a turkey. So when I really set my mind to it, it was year after year after year. I would hunt and hunt. I'd buy all kinds of extra tags, and I would go out, and I'd sit, and I'd try to call. I'd have people call for me. I'd go out with my son. I turkey hunted so much, but I just couldn't get it done. Like, no matter what, we couldn't get them to come in close enough, or, you know, there's just one incident after another. And so 2 years ago, a good friend of mine, Tara Peel, Jeff and Tara Peel, they are two of the owners of Tacticam, and they said, you know what, this is crazy. Like, we're invested in you. We're going to help you. We're going to help you get your first turkey. And so Tara actually came out to my place. She tried helping call me in a turkey, and there wasn't any around. So that was a bummer. So Jeff and Tara invited me to come hunt their place in Iowa. So I got a tag in Iowa, went out there. Jeff was able to call me in a turkey, but unfortunately it was a Jake. And I thought, you know, after 5 years, I'd much rather wait for obviously a Tom. And so he's like, no worries at all. He's like, don't even stress about it. So we ran out of time, so we didn't end up getting anything. But what we decided was I was going to come back the following weekend. Jeff was going to be out of town, so it was just going to be Tara and I. We thought, okay, we'll just have a great little girls' day and we'll do some turkey hunting. And so I left my place really early in the morning, made the two-hour drive to her place. We got out in the stand, or in the blind, and we sat, and around 9 o'clock, we were calling in the turkeys, and Tara started getting on the turkey call, and she brought this turkey down to me, and it was just, like, such an exciting minute and moment for me. Like, my heart was beating out of my chest. It was, like, one of those moments that you're like, 5 years. Like, I could just, like, flash back and see all of these times, like, I was sitting out in all these other places and just walking home and being disappointed. Like, all these moments were, like, flashing in front of my face. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, it's going to happen. It's happening. And here comes this, like, big old Iowa turkey. This thing was seriously, like, on steroids. He was huge. And I was just so overwhelmed. Like, I was excited as if I was about to shoot, like, a trophy buck. It was the best feeling. I was so excited. And, I mean, like, my heart was beating so fast I could almost hear it, too. And it got closer. And then pretty soon I was like, all right, Tara, I'm taking the shot. And so I took the shot. And, you know, the turkey obviously just kind of went bonkers. And so I shot the turkey. And it was so funny because Tara and I, we screamed like two high school girls just because we were so excited. You know, it was like a five-year goal that all came together. And it was just her and I out in the blind. And it was just a really super rewarding experience. And we just had a blast. And after that, we went to town and we celebrated. And we were sitting at this table and we were just like reminiscing the afternoon. And we were just talking about, or the morning, I should say. And we were just talking about it. We were getting so excited. And this couple came up to our table, and they're like, oh, we just heard you guys talking about your successful hunt. We just wanted to tell you congratulations, and it was really fun to see you two girls sitting over here just, you know, talking about your turkey hunt. And so it was just a really fun morning, and after that, we ended up going back to the turkey blind, and we sat the rest of the afternoon, and we ended up getting Tara a turkey later that day around 4 o'clock. And so it was just a really fun, just a really rewarding girls' day for the two of us, two good girls just coming together and having a blast. And, you know, it's just funny when you're two people sitting in a turkey blind and you're trying to be quiet. Sometimes that's not always can happen when you've got two girls who have a lot to say. But we just had a really great time.
Oh, I can just imagine.
Yeah. And we were able to film it all on.
You got it all on film, you're saying?
On Tacticam, yeah, their cameras. So it was awesome.
Nice. Yeah, we just took, actually, John and I took the girls hunting for pigs, whatever, a couple months ago. And we took my brother's daughter, his two daughters, and my daughter. And that was the first time we took everybody. Usually we just take one girl, but we took all four, thinking it was going to be, oh, this is great. These girls never stopped talking. They never stopped. They had the best time. I mean, the boys are, you know, just quiet, you know, kind of like, you know, we'd get mad at the boys for talking, you know. But the girls, they were chit-chatting. I'm like, how are we going to find a pig with you guys is like yelling and screaming. Like, they were yelling. I felt so bad because of the other hunters that were like glassing maybe a couple hundred yards away from us on a different ridge. And I'm like, I felt so bad. I went up to them like, listen, I'm sorry. These girls have no hunting etiquette at all. But it was probably one of the funnest hunts that we've been on. But
that's so cool.
The girls are the best. I love hunting with the girls. I'll tell you right now, I'll take my daughter hunting way more than my sons.
That's
She's so
really
much
cool.
Fun.
I took my son, my youngest son, to Texas this last year for his 17th birthday. We went to Four Amigos Ranch, and we hunted with Dan Brock, the owner, and we went hog hunting, and that was seriously so much fun. We had such a great time. I've hog hunted out in Florida a few different times. We've hog tied them, and we've shot with bow and with rifle and stuff like that. So we've had a lot of fun, but I hadn't gone hunting for hogs in a long time, and my son never did either. So I really wanted to do something fun and special for him, and so we adventured out to Texas. We went to Eagle Pass, and I'll tell you, he had such a great time. And there was 17 people in camp, 16 men and myself. I was the only girl, and it was really interesting because we'd all sit at these big tables, and it was really kind of just a unique experience because a lot of the men that were there were saying to Jaden, you know, this is like such a great experience for you, meaning they were saying, you know, when I was a kid, I would have loved to go hunting with my mom. And so it was kind of cool to see, you know, just some of the men recognize the fact that, you know, it's just he and I there. And they were just a little bit jealous, I guess, in a way. And I say that in a nice way, but just saying like, man, that would have been so cool to be able to experience that with, you know, with their mom. So it was kind of cool to be able to have that, you know, little minute as well. So I thought that was pretty great.
No, nice, nice. Yeah. I can't wait for my daughter to like start putting down some big animals, and then she could take her kids. It's going to be fun. She's only 8 right now, and she comes with me all the time. Like, she does a lot of scouting with me, and I love it. Yeah. She gets on the glass, and she glasses, and she wants to, actually, her first animal that she wants to kill is a pig, and she keeps telling me this every day. And I'm like, I promise you, when you turn 10, that'll be the first thing we go after. We'll get you a pig. Because you can't hunt here until you're 10 years old.
They're tough little buggers for sure, but... Yeah, that's actually, ironically, how I started hunting was my oldest son turned 12, and he was going to get his hunter safety license. And at that time, I had a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old. And I thought, I've got these two boys. I need to find another way to really just, get on the same page with them and be able to, interact with them more, just, if you can't beat them, join them type of a situation. So I thought, I'm going to go and get my hunter safety license with him. So I decided I'd take the class too. And that's when I was opening up to the idea of considering turkey hunting. I thought, well, I could probably handle that. But I really decided that I wanted to try whitetail hunting just because we had the land. And I thought, this is something I could definitely do. And at that time, my ex-husband had built me a hunting shack. And so I definitely wanted to utilize that. So that's kind of how I got into hunting. I really wanted to be, I wanted to have something more in common with my kids. And it, honest to God, was the best decision that I ever made because it has allowed us to have so many incredible experiences together, time together. When we first purchased our land, many years ago, I didn't hunt. And we would go out to the land and we'd camp on it, and my ex-husband and my kids would hunt on it. But, it was just, at that time, I really had a different mindset. I really didn't understand how people would get up, super early in the morning and why they'd sit all day. And, I just never really understood the concept until I really became more open-minded to the idea. And the first time that I went out and sat by myself, it completely changed my perspective in just one sit. It was really exciting because I got up in the tree stand, or actually it was a hunting shack, so I got up in there, and I'll never forget the night because it was so mesmerizing. It was almost like transformational, even just walking up the ladder to get there. And when I sat down in the stand, it was really cold. I remember I could see my breath, but it was just really incredible because I seen my land for the first time from a different perspective. There wasn't any phones ringing, there wasn't any clients calling, there wasn't any kids, coming after me. There was nothing other than just genuine, just peace. But what I was witnessing was just something so incredible. I seen turkeys, coming down from the trees and, just sat and, ate and fed in front of me. And I watched the sunset. And the colors in the sunset, I can remember specifically like what they looked like. And it was just so different to see it from a different perspective. And there was doe in the field, and the little fawns were playing with each other and jumping up around each other. And it was almost like they were playing tag. And it was just so much fun. And it literally was one of the most unique experiences I've ever had and really ever witnessed, one of the most beautiful things. And that night, a very large buck walked out of the woods, and I found myself obviously wanting to grab for my gun, which I did, and I sat and I watched him through the scope, and it was one of the coolest things I experienced because I could seriously just see him, owning the field. His presence was so manly. You could completely tell that he just completely owned that property. He just was the boss. And, in every way that he would step, in the way that he would move, he was so cautious, but he was so graceful at the same time. And I just watched him through the scope, knowing, in my mind, I should be pulling the trigger. But I was just this moment right now is so special to me that I don't even want to pull the trigger. And so I decided in that moment that I was going to put my gun down and just enjoy him through the binoculars. And that's what I did. And it was a really beautiful afternoon/evening for me because I decided in that moment that I was going to, I was going to take more time to appreciate what I had been missing out on, which I had had that land for quite a while. I just never seen it in that perspective. And so I said, I'm not going to shoot a buck until I see one that's bigger than this. It was just kind of a goal that I set because I knew that would give me time to learn and to be patient and to enjoy, you know, the scenery and stuff like that. And so believe it or not, it took me 3 hunting seasons, 3 years, to actually be able to find a buck that was bigger than the one that I'd originally seen that very first night. And I was able to successfully harvest a 11-point buck. So I was super excited about that. But I learned that, you know, having the patience and, you know, learning and just really just getting a better understanding of what you're doing is sometimes just as equally important, because I was so much more appreciative of that buck that I waited 3 years to harvest versus just being able to go out on the first night and just harvest something. It would have been a great story to still be able to say, the first time I ever went out by myself, I was able to get this, you know, beautiful 10-point buck. But it was such a great night for me that day to be able to just enjoy it and watch it that I just decided that I wanted to wait. And I was really glad that I did, because just knowing that you worked that hard and you waited that long, it just made the experience that much better.
Yeah, but what did your husband and your kids say? Mom, are you crazy? You should have shot that buck.
I mean, you know, at that point in my life, I didn't really know any better. So I was just like, oh, there's probably more of these. But, you know, obviously we all know now those are hard to come by. And so they were like, what are you thinking? But to me, it didn't even matter. Like, for me, it was more about just enjoying that first night. It was so exciting, and it was just a really cool night for me. So I'm glad that I ended up waiting, because the end result was a lot better for me. So that was a fun experience for sure. But I will tell you, the most rewarding and the best hunts, I guess, emotionally, mentally, physically, and I guess overall being, was my Idaho bear hunt. I went 3 years ago, and I actually went, I'm trying to think of what city I was in. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I had went, and it was supposed to be a 5-day hunt, and it was a spot and stalk hunt, so we weren't hunting over a bait, so the hunt was actually really challenging. We faced a lot of things we had to overcome. It was a spring hunt, but we had to face rainstorms and snowstorms and obviously early mornings and long days. But, you know, we were climbing the mountain every single day. So we had 13-hour days. And I happened to be there, which was it fell during Mother's Day. And I didn't even realize it when I booked the hunt that I was going to be gone for Mother's Day. But I think it must have been an omen or something, because Mother's Day, we got up early and we ended up hunting until 10 o'clock at night. There was a full moon, so the whole sky was just lit up. And we got to the top of the mountain and we got on 2 bear. I wasn't able to get a good shot on them, but by the time it was finally time to come down the mountain, it was 10 o'clock. And so it was pitch dark out, and by that time I had been hiking for, you know, about 13 hours. So my legs were giving out on me. And we knew it was probably going to be a rough hike back, trying to get down this mountain in the dark. So we decided we were going to just pitch a fire. We didn't have any food. I take that back. We had one little small can of chicken salad that we shared, but that was all we had left from the day. We didn't have anything to protect us for sleeping gear, anything like that. So it was a really cold night, but we survived that. But my point of telling you that is that we went through so many obstacles, and you know, it was just a heck of a struggle. And by day 5, it was time for me to go home, and I was just so disappointed because we had finally gotten on the bears. And my guide said, you know what, I know, I can see how determined you are. You've pushed through all of these hard obstacles. So he's like, I'm willing to give you 2 more days if you can make it work. And so I called home, made all the proper arrangements, and made everything work. And so we went out, hunted really hard for 2 more days. And the last night, the last minute, the last everything, I don't know how in the heck my guy did it, but, man, he knew what the heck he was doing. He placed us in the proper spot, and a beautiful cinnamon color phase bear showed up and came right in my sights. And, you know, I was able to, you know, pull the trigger and make it happen. And it was really an interesting situation, because when I had originally got there, I told the guide, I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, I've never bear hunted before, and bear is like the one thing for me that I've always kind of worried that when I would I be able to pull the trigger. And so I'm just letting you know that, you know, I don't, in that moment, if I can't pull the trigger, you know, please, like, don't hate me. I'm just being honest with you. And so he's like, you know what, that just makes me want to, you know, help you find one even a little bit more. So the cool thing is that in that moment, I didn't second guess. I was ready, and I knew after all them things and all the hardships and all the obstacles we had gone through, oh, man, it didn't take but a second for me to pull the trigger. And so that was, like, one of the best hunting experiences I've ever had, because it's challenged me. It pushed me on all levels emotionally, for sure. But it was a really tough challenge. I mean, there was nothing easy about it, other than going down and just high-fiving my guide, because that was, like, such a fantastic moment for it all to come together. So that was really one of my most favorite hunts that I've gone on. So that was really, really cool.
Nice. Yeah, no, I bet. I mean, just to have that moment and spend two extra days and have it happen on the last second of the last minute. I mean,
you can't
make up for those stories.
I know.
When something's meant to be, it's meant to be. I feel it.
I'll tell you, the cool thing about that story is when the last night that we were sitting there, I was kind of on a low spot, and my guide was probably 15 yards above me at another spot, just above me, not very far. And so we're sitting there and we're quiet, and he said, Dana, oh my goodness, he's like, take your safety off your gun. So I couldn't see anything, so I do it, and I did it very softly and quietly. Well, it must not have been all that quiet, because all of a sudden, my guide said, Dana, shoot, you need to shoot. And I said, I don't see the bear. Like, from where I was sitting, I couldn't see where he was. So a couple seconds later, I'm looking through my scope, and I'm eventually able to see the bear, and I shoot. And long story short, when we got down to the bear, my guide said, well, didn't you see him stand up? Like, right as soon as you clicked off your safety, the bear stood up. He heard you. He stood up and looked. And I said, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? I missed something so awesome like that. And he's like, oh, I wish you could have seen it. Like, that was the coolest thing ever. So I get home, you know, a little disappointed that I didn't get to see it, but I took my Tacticam footage off of the camera and I put it in my computer. And the cool thing is I had the wide-angle view to camera, and the neat thing about it all is that the camera caught the footage of the bear, even though I couldn't see him from the direction where I was actually sitting. And so I got to see the bear stand up on his two legs after all. So that was, like, so cool. It brought the whole hunt full circle for me, and it was just a really special moment. So this is not a paid promotion about Tacticam, but if you guys don't have one on your weapons, I highly recommend it, because they are incredible. They're just, like, it's such a great opportunity to be able to share your hunt with other, you know, with other people that aren't there with you. So I'm a big-time Tacticam fan for sure.
No, John's a believer in them too. He likes it. I try not to film anything, and it's not because I don't want to. I just do, like, B-roll. But when I'm in the moment or whatever, for some reason, I just nothing always goes right when I have the camera on. For me, when it's for somebody else, I don't mind being behind the camera and doing the camera work. But when it's me, I don't know. It just never happens. So I just don't worry about the camera, because some mistake is going to happen if I'm trying to film with the camera, put it on. I can't tell you how many people have given me GoPros to put and hang and to take with me, and it just never works out. But listen,
I understand.
John has that on his bow all times, and he loves it. It is a great tool.
I enjoy it too.
So, Dana, explain to me. I understand you launched a new business last year, and that was named after the Facebook group. That was what was that all about?
Yeah, definitely. So, last year, July 17th, 2019, we launched a new online dating and friending site for outdoor enthusiasts, and we named it Hunting for Connections also. So, like I mentioned earlier in this conversation, I started that group, Hunting for Connections, at a time in my life when I was, going through something really difficult. And during the time from conception to, 3 years later, I had built so many friendships, and so many great things had come from the group, and it just, the group had really, like I said, became a family. They were there for me during a time that I really needed some extra support, even though they didn't really realize what I was going through. And when we had launched the dating site, we had originally named it and bought the domain Hunting for True Love. And we had realized that, you know, there's more people out there that are not just necessarily looking for love or for relationships, but there's also people out there that are looking for new friendships or new activity partners, you know, people that they can just go out and share their passions with, maybe not even looking for a relationship or a date. And so we decided we wanted to join together and really just create more than just one option for people to connect on. So we decided there was four ways we wanted them to connect. And so I'm like, well, oh my goodness, you know, Hunting for Connections, it's such a perfect name for the dating site anyways. And so for us, it was a great way to kind of honor the group for, you know, doing something special for me in a time that I really needed it. And so we decided to also name the dating site, the dating and friending site, Hunting for Connections. And so it's great because now the dating site, that platform has a community of people that they can go talk hunting and fishing with. And, you know, vice versa, if there's people in the hunting and fishing group that are looking for new friends or a date or a relationship, then they can utilize the site as well. So it's just kind of grown into a, you know, a harmonious, unique platform that has been, you know, changing people's lives for the better, which is what it's all about.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we all want a little love, I guess.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
Dana, I want to thank you for coming on. John feels bad that he wasn't able to make the call. He's out there turkey hunting with his daughter. So I'm glad to have been able to be a part of this podcast. Again, tell everybody how they can reach you and where they can reach you and how they can join this Facebook group,
yeah.
The Hunting for Connections.
Yep.
Is it to everybody, or how does it work? Like, anybody can join, or is they?
Yep. So on Facebook, they pull in Hunting, the number 4, Connections, and then they're going to see there's a Facebook group, and then there's a Facebook page. So once they click on the group, there's just 2 questions for them to answer, and then we can accept them into the group, and then they're part of that community. And then, again, they can follow us on Facebook on the actual page. And then to sign up for Hunting for Connections, they just go to huntingforconnections.com on primarily Chrome URL. And then it's free for them to sign up there. Their profile takes less than 5 minutes to put together. And then right now, for a promotional time, since we're still under a year, we're giving every single person that signs up 100 free tokens for them to come in, check out the site, start talking for free. And so the cool thing is anybody that signs up for the dating and friending site, they get entered into all kinds of hunting and fishing giveaways. We're doing romantic weekend getaways. We're giving away a ton of really cool things. So now is a really good time for people to go and check that out. But anybody that wants to talk to me personally, they can reach me on Facebook, Dana Sasha, or they can email me at danak@huntingforconnections.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. Good luck this hunting season. Send me some photos.
Yeah.
We'll love to hear about them next time. And again, we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Happy hunting. You guys have a great day.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.